benefit of our visitors, we've been going through the book of John little by little, and we're in chapter 15 this morning. And often I read the passage at the beginning and then talk about it, but today I want to do something slightly different. I want to home in straight to verse 12 and 13, and we'll read the whole passage a bit later on. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And then he says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And you can imagine, as in my mind, I was thinking, what are we going to do? It's Remembrance Sunday. Do we carry on with our next passage from the book of John? And when these words sprang out at me, it was like, wow, this is the passage. It's the one because it's where we're at in the book, but it actually fits perfectly this subject of war. We have all heard those stories of sacrifice. In times of war, we've heard of the young men paying the ultimate price to defend their parents, their grandparents, and their younger siblings. In times of disaster, we've heard of the woman who entered the flood waters to rescue a stranger, only to be overcome by the water. Or we've heard of the Red Cross workers who entered the war zone to save the injured, but who themselves became the injured. And Jesus hits the nail on the head when he says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And Jesus teaches us elsewhere to love our enemies, to treat our enemies, and by that I mean those who hate us, to treat our enemies as friends, which adds even more weight to his words today when he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And you don't need me to tell you that war does not start out there. You all know that war starts in here, inside each one of us, within the human heart. And the New Testament writer, our friend James, puts it like this. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight." And the only way to put an end to the war within us and the war between us, the only way is sacrifice. Sacrifice and love. And in our reading this morning, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Jesus has loved us, Jesus does love us, and he calls us his friends. He laid down his life for us, and he calls us to lay down our lives for each other. But we cannot do this in isolation. We cannot do this alone. We need Jesus and we need each other. Yes, my friends, we need to be united. So now, perhaps, let's read our passage together, which is John chapter 15, and it talks about the need to be united with each other in Jesus. John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. Clean is a similar word to the word pruning. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. You see, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And here's a thing. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. I wonder how many of you love trees. Perhaps just raise a hand if you love trees. I know we're a nature-loving church. What are some of your favorites? Just shout out. Trees you love. Big ones. Again? Acers. I thought it was a computer, but there we go. Is it a tree, an Acer? Yeah. Beech. Yeah. Oak. Fig tree. Yeah. Mangoes. This man's got mango trees in his garden, and I've had a mango from his tree. Yes. And I like weeping willows. Not trying to be sad or anything, but I just like weeping willows. And sometimes you say, look at that beautiful tree. Don't you do that? Did I do that in Germany? Did I do that in Germany? Look at that beautiful tree. But you don't often hear someone say, look at that beautiful branch. Do you? You really don't. What is a branch on its own? In fact, a branch on its own would fall over, wouldn't it? I was looking at the trees near our home just the other day as I was preparing this. And, you know, unless you're really, really up close, you can't even identify the individual branches because the leaves from one branch are overlapping with the leaves from another. They're interwoven. And Jesus says, you, plural, are the branches, plural. You, the church of Jesus Christ, you, plural, are the branches. He does not say to any one individual, you, singular, are the branch. Rather, you, plural, are the branches. A tree has beauty. A tree has grace. A tree is balanced and has balance. Otherwise, it would fall over. But as soon as you cut a branch from a tree, it falls to the ground. And in fact, if you cut a branch from a tree and let it fall to the ground, you might now have made the rest of the tree unbalanced. That's why we pay tree surgeons to do it properly. A tree will survive. A tree will thrive. But a branch on its own, even if it will strive, it will not survive. Will not grow, it will not last, and it will not bear fruit. Jesus says in this passage this morning, John 15, verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. There is nothing false about Jesus. He is the true vine because, of course, he is the way and the truth and the life. He is the true vine, and his Father, he says, is the gardener. And as so often in this Gospel of John, in our passage today, we see Jesus as always giving glory and honor to his Father. And he is identifying that it is his Father who does the cutting and the pruning. And in verse 2, he says that the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So that raises a question. Do we need pruning? Do we as individual believers who make up the church, do we as individuals need pruning? Do we as a church need pruning? Are there bits within us that need removing? We're not talking about cutting off whole branches. That's a horrible thing to happen. We're talking about cleaning up the ends to make those branches healthy. When necessary, the Father cuts off complete branches, but of course there's no future then for the branch. But if the Father prunes the branch will survive and it will bring blessing to the whole tree. In verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples when he washed their feet? We looked at that just a few weeks ago. In John 13, Jesus said, those who have a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean. Remember, because Peter didn't want to have his feet washed. Jesus said to Peter, you're clean, but you still need to have your feet washed. You probably had a bath earlier today, but you've walked all the way here. Your feet are pretty disgusting. You need to wash your feet. And that's the reality. Jesus is saying today we are clean because Jesus has cleansed us. To use the foot washing analogy, we are clean, but we still need to have our feet washed. And using today's tree and branches analogy, we are clean, but we still need to be pruned. When we talk about pruning, we are not talking about being cut off from the vine. We're talking about those bits and bobs in our lives that are not helpful. So maybe that's a challenge for us. What are the bits and bobs in your life, in my life, in our life as a church, as well as individuals? What are those things that prevent us from bearing fruit? It may be painful, but maybe we need to invite Jesus to prune us. In fact, you're going to say, isn't it the Father? Yes. Invite the Father to prune us according to his word. We need to be pruned, but we need to remain in the vine. And Jesus continues, verse 4, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We have got to remain in Jesus. We must keep inviting him to remain in us. And the reason for remaining isn't just to survive, it is to thrive. And in verse 5 he says, look, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And this is God's calling. He doesn't just want us to be an apple tree with no apples, a pear tree with no pears. And how many of you would really want an apple tree in your garden with no apples, or a pear tree with no pears? Or if I came to your house and it was the middle of the summer, you'd say, do you like our rose bush? I say, well, yeah, but you haven't got any roses. You know? And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This isn't the first time we've been invited in the book of John to ask for things. Let's be asking for the souls of the people around us, the people who need a Saviour. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God is not calling us only to survive. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to bear fruit. And then in verse 9 he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We said it last week because it came out of the passage last week, and it's coming up again here in these verses 9 and 10. Jesus has remained in his Father's love. Jesus has kept his Father's commands, and he is calling us to remain in his love, and he is calling us to obey his commands. Now, there's a bit of a problem. If I'd have said, to accept his invitations, you'd say, yes, that's nice. We like invitations in our world today. But who likes commands? And you could say to me, Mark, you know, we are in 2019. Can't you just tweak the Bible a little bit? Change it. Why not? There are plenty of churches that do. You might say to me, Mark, commands, not a word I really like. Or you may say it's a bit old-fashioned. Or you may say it is a bit restrictive. Or commands, well, Mark, honestly, it's a bit killjoy, isn't it? Commands. Let me answer that. No. Not in the context of what Jesus is saying. It is not a bit old-fashioned. If we want to bring life into the Church of Jesus, if we want to see life, new life, growth, it's not at all old-fashioned. We need to be obeying his commands. It's not a bit restrictive, and certainly not even a bit killjoy. Why do I say that? Have a look at verse 11. On the contrary, Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus is not a killjoy. Jesus wants us to have joy. His joy, not first and foremost out there, but starting right here, in us. Within us. Do you remember what we said about war a few moments ago? I said that war does not start out there. It starts in here. And in here. Inside each one of us. Within the human heart. God wants to transform us. Casting out the war and the conflict from within us. And replacing it with his joy. And his command, the command that brings joy, is in verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you my servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. That is, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So this is my command, says Jesus. Love one another. This is our calling. This is Jesus' command to us. And this is what will bring us joy on the inside that will radiate out. Love each other.